Today on Rockin' the Suburb, we're talking about Canadian music.
Oh, wait, I thought we were talking about Crown Royal and poutine.
All right, I'm headed that way now. We can do that and then visit. Welcome to a new episode of Rockin' the Suburb. I am not Jim, nor am I Patrick. I am one of your summer guest hosts, Jesse Jackson. And joining me today is my new friend, Mike. Mike, introduce yourself.
Hey there, Jesse. I'm not Jim, nor am I Patrick. I am Mike. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we are glad to have you here. I host Set Lusting Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen podcast, and I am a big Rockin' the Suburb fan. I live in Dallas, Texas. Mike, how about you?
I've been listening to these guys since their previous podcast, so I'm huge fans of those guys. I live in Rome, New York, central New York area, near Syracuse.
Very nice. All right, so we got a little Midwest, East Coast thing happening here. Jim and Patrick put out the call to say, hey, we're going to be off doing kind of family vacations. Does anyone want to help fill in? We raised our hand, and so Mike and I started talking, and Mike is the one who came up with the topic today. So, Mike, what are we talking about?
Well, I was thinking about doing something along the lines of Canadian music, Canadian bands that never really got the proper audience in the U.S.,
That's interesting. Now, what made you interested in this topic?
I live close to the Canadian border, so I've been exposed to a lot of Canadian things. Most of my sports teams are Canadian teams. I became a fan of the Tragedy Hit back in the 90s, and once I became a fan of theirs, I just kind of did a deep dive into all kinds of Canadian music, and a lot of it is terrific, but none of it was being played. I mean, outside of Rush, the Guess Who, Bachman Turner Overdrive, Gordon Lightfoot, those are the Canadian artists, Alanis Morissette, Nickelback, those are the Canadian bands that people know, but there are so many great Canadian bands that just never got exposure in the U.S., and I really think they should have.
This should be fun to talk about. So you feel like you're part Canadian living that close to the border?
Yeah, I would say I've been accused of being Canadian.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
I really think that there's a lot of Canadian music that hasn't been really exposed in the U.S. that really should be.
All right, well, let's get it started. Who's the first band you wanted to talk about?
The first band that really got me into Canadian music was the Tragically Hip. Out of Kingston, Ontario, a friend of mine played hockey back in the 90s with a lot of Canadian guys, and he introduced me to the band. I'm a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan, so he told me about this band. They had a song called 50 Mission Cap, which referenced a famous Toronto Maple Leaf player. As soon as I heard that song, I was hooked. You know, once I started reading liner notes and started digging deep into Canadian music, I just found a whole slew of other music outside of the Tragically Hip that I really enjoyed. So that was my first exposure to, you know, outside of the mainstream Canadian music that everybody knows, was the Tragically Hip.
It appears that they have a pretty diverse song book. I have heard the name but know nothing about. What song do you want to sample so we can get a feel for an example of their music?
I mean, they have such a diverse range of sounds where they do the mellow sounds, they do the rockin' sounds, they do little bluesy bass rock and roll. But one of the songs that really got me into them originally was a song called Little Bones off their Road Apples album. It's got a nice driving beat to it, and it's got a little bluesiness to it.
Okay, well, let's listen to it, and then we'll talk about it. I like that, Mike. That has a nice little drive to it. What about this song kind of appeal to you?
Just the driving beat of it. It's got a little bluesiness to it, and the references to it. The long days of Shockley are gone. So is Football Kennedy Style. That's kind of a reference to just the Kennedy family.
Yeah,
and then they bring up $2.50 for a decade and a buck and a half for a year. Happy hour is here, so they're just kind of like just tossing things around where they're throwing historical references out there, and I'm a history geek, so I that really struck me, along with the whole driving beat of the song.
Okay, I like that. Where else do you want to take us?
One of the bands that the Hip has really had a connection with is a band called the Sadies.
Okay.
And they're based out of Toronto. They're a really tough band to categorize. And the reason I brought them up was because I've seen them several times over the past few years in my area, and I've seen them in small clubs. And just seeing them in small clubs just makes me think these guys should be playing bigger places. Because they're phenomenal musicians, and their songwriting is terrific, and they should not be playing in small clubs in the U.S. or anywhere, really. They should be playing in theaters or stadiums, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm fortunate enough to have been able to see them four times in the last 3 years in a small, intimate setting and watch their phenomenal musicianship.
There is something special about going to a small venue where there may only be a couple hundred people and catching someone on their way up or someone who is fixing to break it. And then even when you get to a middle-sized club, that's kind of cool to see. That's very fun. You've gotten to hear them. What song do you want to play for us to get a little sample?
Well, the thing with the Sadies is that they're more of I guess you would say they're more of a musician's band.
Yeah.
Because they've been able to hook up with so many phenomenal musicians over their career, where they've been a backing band for Gord Downie, who's the lead singer of the Tragically Hip. They've been the backing band for Nico Case, who is a phenomenal solo artist as well as the lead singer of the New Pornographers. They've backed Robin Hitchcock. They've backed John Spencer of the John Spencer Blues Explosion. They consider themselves secondary members of the Mekons, who are also a very influential band. And they were John Doe of X's backing band on one of their albums. So these guys, and they've also performed with Garth Hudson of the band. They've also performed with Neil Young. So these guys, I mean, they had the respect of some tremendous musicians, yet they're still, in the U.S. at least, I'm not sure what type of places they're playing in Canada, but in the U.S. they're playing in these small little clubs, and they are an arena-type band with the respect of musicians all over the world.
Very and interesting. So,
yeah, they're really good.
All right.
One of their songs that really strikes me is called Another Year Again on their Darker Circles album.
All right.
From 2010.
The years have passed you by, and your face is all that changes in this town. You can make it up so high, that the only place that's left to go is down. Right now it's fine, but soon you'll find you're running out of time. It won't be long till all your hopes and dreams are dead and gone.
My old friends have lost their way. Yeah, these guys that. They have a really original sound where they have a little bit of traditional country sound. They have a little bit of surf rock to them. They have a little bit of garage rock to them. So it's really hard to categorize them. That's maybe why they're not getting the recognition they deserve, because they're so broad in what they can do. But the musicianship in this band is phenomenal.
I think that is a great point, Mike, is sometimes if a band is too diverse and too different, the record company doesn't know what to do with them, because it's kind of hard to sell if their songs sound differently, if they kind of cross genres. You know, the record company sits there, well, I'm not sure what to say, what to do. So, yeah, I get that. But this sounds cool. All right. And your third band. Go ahead.
That's a nice segue. What you just said, that's a nice segue to the final Canadian band that I'd like to bring up tonight is a band called Sloan. They were formed in Halifax back in the early 90s, 1991, and if you were going to categorize them, they would be a power pop, pop rock, indie rock type band, and they got signed by Geffen Records in 92 in the great Who's Gonna Be the Next Nirvana rush for bands. Because they had a little bit of a grungy sound to them at first when they first came out, and their first album was had a little bit of a grungy feel to it, but that's not what they were looking to do with their sound. So their second album, Twice Removed, didn't sound like the first album that Geffen got behind. So Geffen pulled their support from them after their second album. When the second album came out, they really didn't push them, and so they kind of just were left out on a limb, just hanging out there, and they really didn't go anywhere in the U.S. because Geffen never gave them a push. But they soldiered on. They've been around since 1991. They've had the same four members since 1991. They're still performing now. They're still putting out albums now. They just released their 12th studio album last year, and they put on a phenomenal live show. There's four guys in the band. All four guys write music. The person that writes the song, sings the song, performs the song. And so they spread the wealth equally amongst themselves, and they're just one of the best bands I've ever seen play live, and nobody in the U.S. knows who they are, or not nobody, but very few people know who they are. And I think they should really have gotten more recognition in the States than they have.
Yeah, you know, as we're talking, I'm doing a Google search, and it's pretty interesting that, you know, how long they've been. The story reminds me a lot, Mike, of I have a good friend named Sarah Hickman, who was picked up by Elektra Records, you know, did one album, didn't do as much as they wanted to do, and she ended up, you know, being released. Now she's went on and done, you know, 12, 14 albums, all independently released and done. And so it is possible to have a career without that major label, but it just is a very different kind of career. What Sloan song do you want to share with us?
I think one of the most recognizable songs that they have is called Money City Maniacs. It's off the Navy Blues album from 98. That song has like an air raid siren beginning to it that was used in a beer commercial. I'm not sure which beer company used it, but if you were watching Hockey Night in Canada back in the late 90s, early 2000s, you probably saw this commercial on CBC, and that was probably their biggest hit. It's called Money City Maniacs, and it's got a really cool driving beat to it. It's a really cool power pop type song. It's got, you know, tastes of Cheap Trick, Beatles to it. You know, it's got the harmonies to it, and it's just a really cool song, and I think it's one that kind of really identifies the Sloan song.
All right, let's listen a little bit to it.
About their second album called Twice Removed, mm-hmm. Spin Magazine in 1994 called that one of the best albums you didn't hear for 1994. I really agree with that, because I don't really know anybody who knows who Sloan is. The Sloan fans I know are all online.
Okay, yeah, that's a I like that one a lot. It sounded really good. It does have that siren, but then a really strong, you know, a bass beat to start out with and building up. That was fun. You know, Mike, thanks a lot. This gives us, you know, three bands to kind of look at. Rock in the Suburbs is all about new music. And no matter when it was recorded, if you've never heard it, it's new music to you. Kind of got us a chance to go check out some new bands. That sounds wonderful. I appreciate it.
Thank you for helping me out with this.
Any final words to share about our love of Canadian music?
I'm always looking for new music, no matter where it's from. But, you know, a funny story. I was just telling a friend earlier today that years ago, I sat down and just started making regional music mixes, mixtapes, where I would just sit down and just go through my collection and, all right, so who's from New York? Who's from the Pacific Northwest? Who's from the Southwest, who's from Texas, who's from New England, who's from Canada. So I put together all these mixtapes over the years. Not even over the years. It was just like over the course of 1 year. And they're all on cassette tape. So that tells you where I'm coming from. But I just, you know, I kind of think Dave Grohl kind of owes me some royalties for his Sonic Highways program on HBO.
You know, I would love to have, I'd love to see if Jim and Patrick would let us come back again and we could talk about maybe some Texas or some other areas of music. That would be a lot of fun. If someone wants to reach you, are you on social media at all?
I am on social media. I am the editor-in-chief for NewYorkStateMusic.com. So it's NYSMusic.com. I can be reached there at Mike@NYSMusic.com.
Okay.
I'm also on Twitter at Mike Coley, MikeKohli.
Okay.
And I'm also on Facebook with my name, Mike Coley.
All right. Well, I can be reached at Jesse Jackson DFW on Twitter. You can hear me talk to mostly about Bruce Springsteen, but we throw in other musicians every once in a while on Set Listing Bruce. We have had over 300 episodes talking to people who are Springsteen fans from around the world. I sure would appreciate if you would check that out. Give a tweet to Mike and I and let us know what you think. Tell us what you think of these bands. Before we end, of course, we always have to do some rock in the suburb business. Thank you, listeners. We appreciate you listening to us. And thank you, Jim and Patrick, for letting Mike and I guest host. Don't worry, Jim and Patrick will be back soon. Please go and give the podcast a little love. You can go to anywhere where podcasts are found and download the episodes. You should listen how often?
Every day.
Every day. You can reach the podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or you can send an email to rock@suburbspod.com. Okay, Mike, I think we've done everything we need to do. So what song do you think we should play out?
Underwhelmed from Sloan.
All right, that sounds perfect to me. Though, I got to tell you, I was not underwhelmed by your stories. I was a little bit impressed. So thank you, listeners. Thank you, Mike. We will talk to you soon.
She was underwhelmed, if that's so.